Well, we're still teaching on the areas of divine healing. We're sort of jumped, the Holy Spirit has me sort of jumping around in and out of different things. One of the things we talked last week, really looking at really how unbelief affects the power of God, and we need to understand that with people. Jesus, and we found out Jesus removed people from crowds. You know, you can have so much unbelief going on in a place. Kenneth Hagin told a story where he was at a church ministering. It was a Spirit-filled church. And he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, we've been holding these meetings here in his church. And he said, we haven't had the things happening. He said that we do and I have in other churches. And the Lord said to him, yeah, because of the unbelief in the crowd. It's the unbelief. They're stopping it. And so the Lord said to him, Lord said, you need to take the people aside out away from the congregation and minister the people need ministered to. And he said, well, Lord, I just can't, you know, the church just, you know, take people off, you know, the pastor. He said, well, take them to Word Said where I told you to take, where I took people aside and say, ask them if they believe what the Word says and then tell them what it says. And so, you know, but he ended up taking people aside. And when he took them aside, he started having success. See, it's one of the things that religion, America's just, the church is just, they lost this stuff. We understood this stuff back in the 1980s. And the churches today play church. They got all these church games. It's religion. It's just their religion. And they're playing this and they don't understand. They're trying to get things done among faithless people. But anyhow, in this thing, the pastor came to Kenneth Hagin later on and said to him, I know why you did what you did. He said, and I want to apologize because he said, me and my wife are probably the biggest unbelieving. He said, we were just downright hindering things. I found this out in ministry. Usually in ministry in places I go, I found this out. I can't go no further than the pastor in the place. The pastors are usually the problem. The leaders are the problem. Because of their beliefs and how they believe. And they won't let you only go so far because of their beliefs. Jesus said you won't go any further than your teacher. If the teachers don't change, it ain't changing. It is. Faith comes by hearing the word. And if things aren't moving along with God, people ain't going to rise to faith. That's why it's so important. That's why I'm a stickler for the word. It's what the word says. I don't care what somebody tells me something else. I'm not interested. It's what the word says because the power of God works through the word. And so faith comes by hearing what the word says, acting in line with the word, not what people believe in their traditions or ideas. That's going to hinder. That's going to limit how things operate and how the things that work. I know when I started off as a Christian, I had to get past some things because of what I was taught when I was young. In the church. Not to get past that. Because what happened, those things get in you and they're part of your belief. And if you don't get rid of that stuff, I'm just going to tell you. If you don't bring it to a stop. That's why, you know, lots of times religious people, especially religious beliefs, keep people from getting healed, keep people from being filled with the Spirit. Stop all kind of stuff. They stop it. And people don't know why. They never get rid of those things. They keep that stuff. People love their traditions. They love, you know, doing that. You know, we have all the groups today and, you know, people are, you know, it's just like I saw it in the Word of Faith people, but you have it, whether it's Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, you know, Mennonite, Amish, anybody down the line. They all have their traditions. And loads of their traditions ain't God. It's their traditions. And know what? They love their traditions. And they just want to keep them things. And yet it's one of their greatest hindrances. And I found out you can't, the Word of Faith people, they started building their traditions. I saw that when I came in the kingdom. After a while, they got their traditions running. And you got to get past that stuff, come over the Word of God, and follow what the Word of God says. So we want to look this morning, we're going to look in an area. I want to go to John, the 14th chapter, a very familiar scripture we want to look at here. John, the 14th chapter, is something that Jesus said. And really from the areas of authority, he has the authority. As I go with John G. Lake, he said that Jesus is the final authority. If he said something on the subject specifically, that's that he's the final authority. Well, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he went and he talked with the disciples, and in John 14, this is part of his discussion. He said in chapter 14, verse 11, he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the work, for the sake of the works themselves." He said, "Look, just believe me for the works themselves, you know." He's saying to his disciples, listen, he's speaking to his disciples. These guys have been following him now for these 3 years of ministry. He said, "Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me." Or else, he says, "Just believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Now, he's speaking this to his disciples. And so, you know, lots of people, you know, is even though they walked with Jesus, I've heard people say, "Boy, I wish I'd lived when Jesus did." It wouldn't have done you any good if you're unbelief today. It'd have been unbelief then too, so it don't matter. That won't change it. And then it says, Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me," and let's just stop where he said, "he who believes in me," he did not say "you disciples." He said, "he who believes in me," the person who believes in him. I decided when I was a young Christian, that was me he was talking to. I believe in him. Don't you believe in him? Okay. We believe in him. So, he says, "The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." Well, one of the things we're going to look at what the works of Jesus are. I've ministered in this area before. Folks, these things are understand. You're never going to really understand divine healing and things because really, Jesus' ministry lays down a pattern of ministry dealing with the gifts of the Spirit and ministering in the areas of healing and stuff and that. It's one thing is dealing in the areas of divine healing. You understand this. Jesus never ministered outside of divine healing. He never sent people to doctors. He didn't. That don't mean it's going, something going, body going to the doctor. But Jesus operated in divine healing. Today, the church world doesn't operate in divine healing very much. We have a mixture. And see, what people want divine healing, but they're heading in a different direction. And you got to find out where people are headed to. As the Lord dealt with me years ago about it, when we were still out at the Birch Road there at church, the Lord began to speak to me one day about the fact of what he revealed to Kenneth Hagin, what Kenneth Hagin had said, and I heard it. He said, and told Kenneth Hagin, he said, divine healing is without the help of any kind of natural things, of doctors, medicine, or anything like that. Divine healing in itself is God healing a person. Okay? Now, he said, if a person goes to the doctor, he said, I want to help them. I want to help the individual. And this is what he specifically told him to do. He said, when somebody's going to the doctor, he told them specifically how they were supposed to pray for it. He said, you pray for them to have a quick recovery. That's what you pray for. Now, what we do today is, generally, now understand, you go to say, a big meetings and all that stuff. They don't all have to have time to pray for individuals, you know, because they have a lot of people they're praying for. So you'd be there for days trying to get people prayed for. But in the churches, the church is the place where people ought to be ministered to specifically on things. And we need to understand this with people. You need to know this. What is the direction you're heading? It doesn't matter what I believe. We're going to look at this. We'll look at these things later. It matters what you believe. It don't matter what I believe. When it comes to you, I don't care how much I have faith in an area. It may be more problem for you if your not faith ain't in the same direction. And so the Lord spoke to me about this. He said, people are coming, and he said, you're talking divine healing, and he said, they're coming, they have no intention going to divine healing. They have no intention to it. He said, they're just going to go to the doctor, and he said, they're going to. So he said, I want you to specifically divide up with people to understand this, and he said, you minister to them according to where their faith is. Well, we had better success when we did that. Now, you had some people, they were, you know, full of pride. I remember one woman, she came and because I was talking to him about this, and I said, if you're going to go to the doctor and stuff, we'll pray for you for a quick recovery, or we'll pray, you know, if you want to stay in divine, we'll pray for divine healing. You believe you receive it. And, well, she said, well, I'm standing for divine healing. And after I prayed for her, she walked away, and the Lord said to me, she ain't getting nothing. She lied to you. She's going to the doctor. Well, I didn't know for sure if she was or not. But somebody come up and told me then after church, She walked back and told her she's going to the doctor. And you know what? She didn't get healed. In fact, that same woman died prematurely at about in her late 50s. You know, you can't play these games, the devil will eat your lunch. You know? Don't try to put on a front. If you can't believe something, well, my word, just join the club. Ain't everybody can believe everything. Well, we're all growing and getting. Get over yourself. Most people, right, you know, Randall Greer said, the Lord told him, he said, the number one problem, he said, today a spirit operating in the church is a spirit of pride. He said, pride's the major problem why things ain't working in the church. People are just full of pride. They think they've arrived, they think they know, and they don't know nothing. You know, if you don't know nothing, just admit it. God can bless you if you're honest. Be honest, dear God. Just be honest and get blessed. God will bless you. If you don't know something, you don't have to. If somebody thinks less of you because you admitted you don't know, they got the problem, not you. So get over that stuff. You know, it don't matter. And number one, we want people blessed. The Lord taught me that. He wasn't trying to diminish anybody or trying to call anybody out or make somebody feel bad. He wanted to help people. And we need to understand these things. The church today doesn't know how to help people. They're always trying to do everything through the natural and trying to do it their way. And it's best to do it God's way. Now, one of the things we talk about, Jesus specifically spoke to John the Baptist, his followers, his disciples. In Matthew 11, I'm just going to read to you there, starting in verse 2, where they came to find out, it says, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Jesus of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf are heard, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Here we have laid out the ministry things, or in other words, these are the works of Jesus. Now you'll notice one thing, he said the gospel. Now he says the poor have the gospel preached to them. I want you to understand from a historical standpoint of what was taking place at that time. When we use the term poor, right away as we think, and this is where a lot of ministries, well, our ministry is going to be go take care of the poor. That's what we're going to do. And they don't really know what this is even talking about here. From the standpoint of the poor, when you went in at that time, to the areas of Judea and in Galilee and those places, probably 90% of people were in the category of poor. And they're not poor like America talks about poor. We need to understand spiritually what's going on. There was two groups of religious ones that ran with the temple and ran things. They were called the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were both very small groups. In fact, they only estimate there was probably, the Pharisees was only about 1,500 of them. Yet these guys held all the positions and the Sadducees. In fact, in Jesus' day, the Sadducees had the high priest was a Sadducee. Who they were just, there was a very religious people. The Sadducees, now they didn't believe in angels and they didn't believe in a resurrection and all that kind of stuff. They didn't believe in those things. It's in the Bible. Just because it's in the Bible, religious people don't have to believe it. They don't usually. But we need to understand what's going on. And what these people actually thought, if you go back and you read historical things of the time period, they believed that all the poor people, which was the majority of them, were lost. And they believed it didn't do much any good to preach to them or talk to them about anything. That's what they believed. They thought these people, that's why whenever you read in places and that stuff, you know, when the leaders at the temple had a guy who came to them and talked about Jesus healed, they wanted to know who healed him. And he said, I don't know who the guy was. I just know. They said, well, you know, this guy, he healed on the Sabbath. It couldn't have been God. And the guy said, you're telling me a sinner can turn around, run around and heal people? And they rebuked him. They said, who are you that you try to teach us? See, they thought they arrived. These two small groups that ran the country's religion, they really looked down on everybody. When Jesus said he preached the gospel of the poor, it's not like we think today about the poverty thing like we think about today. In other words, he said the masses are getting the good news. They're hearing good news. They ain't heard none. The masses had not heard good news. And so Kenneth Hagin said, he said, they preached the gospel to them. He said they didn't feed them hamburgers and hot dogs. And so we got to come over. What are we going to do in the works of Jesus? And so we want to see here, as one of the things is dealing with the preaching of the gospel. And so Jesus' works, we're looking at the fact of his works. In other words, the scripture's telling us here what kind of works were Jesus. You have to just settle the fact that today the majority of the church world does not do the works of Jesus. In fact, what they even do that he said, they don't do well. They don't do it well. You know, as if you take teaching and preaching today as one of the things, you know, preaching the gospel, we don't do it well at all today. Loads of people, we so-called lead them through prayers, we call them that kind of stuff. They never get saved. They just join a religious group. It's not either, loads of stuff ain't even in line with the Bible that they tell them to believe. And so we have these things that are going on today that are happening in the church world, and it's getting in line with the Word of God. You know, one of the things you have to get over, Jesus' works, and here's one thing that you need to understand and know, that Jesus' works were not done because he was God. If you have any belief in that, you are going to have problems in the areas with divine healing and things. You're just going to have trouble with it. We need to understand it, because most Christians believe that Jesus healed and he did miracles to prove the idea that he was the Messiah, that he was God. Now I want you to think about it. Let me read this to you. In John, the 21st chapter, I'm going to read verses 24 and 25 to you. It says, This is the disciple who testifies of these things. This is John writing. He said, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Speaking of Jesus, his testimony is true. It said, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the book that would be written. Amen. This was the end of the gospel. Now I want you to think about this. Jesus did so many things. Now, in other words, our book, what we have of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are really tiny things. They're little. You need to understand this. It isn't how many works Jesus did that we have written, yet John said if they were all written, he didn't know if the earth could handle all he did, all this guy did. Well, in other words, the things that we have written, the things that are written on, are enough for us on revelation-wise to understand that we can do the works of Jesus. We don't need to have more written. But we need to understand all these things that were written, all this was done. In other words, all these things that Jesus did, and if it was to prove that he was the Messiah, he failed. God's ministry was a failure. God was the biggest failure in the earth. He did all them miracles. Did they believe he was the Messiah? And then Jesus worked against his father as much as he could. He'd tell his disciples, don't tell him I'm the Messiah. Don't tell him. I wonder if any of these ministers ever read the Bible. I really do. It is beyond my mind. I am convinced that people just don't even know what words mean. I mean, just... Some of the most simple. Look, if I can read them and figure them out, other people ought to do a lot better. You know? I mean, you don't have to be the sharpest pencil in the drawer to figure some of this stuff out. But there are so many dull people, and I'm just going to tell you why they're dull. It's because they're following their religious traditions. Their religious traditions are up here, and the Word of God is down here. And you say that to them, they will get offended. And we believe the Bible's God's Word. You don't even know what it says. But you can always tell anybody all your religious beliefs. But if we ask you what the Word said about it, they'll have to stand there and scratch it. I'll get back to you. Oh, I've had that happen to me many times. They get over and tell me what they're believing, and I say, you know, the Bible says such and such and says this. What about that? You said this, this, and that. I'll get back to you. And you know when they get back to me? Never. They never get back. They don't ever come back. But we have here, so in other words, Jesus, God was not trying to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. That is not what was happening or going on here. So we need to understand, Jesus' life in the earth, his life, his ministry, his death and resurrection, it was the fulfillment of the law. See, Jesus came to fulfill the law. You need to understand this. Jesus, under the law, which we may do is go do some teaching. I may go back under the law and teach. See, we did from the standpoint talking about the curse of the law and how, if Israel could follow everything. But if you look back in scriptures, God's plan for Israel was Israel to be well, not have sickness. They weren't supposed to have any kind of miscarriages. They were not supposed to have any kind. Everything was supposed to go through. They were supposed to be blessed. That was God's plan for them. God had planned it. Well, see, that had all vanished. See, religion had killed it. They came along and the Pharisees and the Sadducees added all their stuff to the law and did everything, and they killed it. They turned around. Instead of ministering healing deliverance to the people, they just thought the people were cursed. The only people can have it is us, because we're the guys on the top. We know everything. You guys don't know nothing. You ain't going to make it. And so that's what the thing was going on at that time. Jesus Christ, his ministry was just the fulfillment of the law. It was God wanted Israel blessed. He wanted them walking in health. He wanted them. It was in their covenant. It was in their covenant to have healing. God wanted them to have it. And what happens? He comes along fulfilling the covenant, and he's hated by the religious leaders. I'm just telling you this today. Religious people will hate you. Persecution will always mostly come from religious people. It's where it's going to come from. I haven't had sinners get mad at me over stuff. If they do, they don't make no big deal of it. They just say, he's an idiot, and go. But I'll tell you what, they'll turn around and go run around. Christians, they'll run around and tell everybody and knock you in front of everybody and everything else around when the religious people don't like the stuff you preach. Well, I'll tell you, he preaches heresy. He's preaching. Well, you preach the Bible and it's heresy. Why? It don't fit their religion. It don't fit their religious stuff. People love their religion. Just like in Jesus' day, they love their religion. The people that they're supposed to be helping, they're keeping under their thumb. And so, it's like today. I've seen this all the time. People who are supposed to be helping other people, and they'll have a ministry helping other people, but really they're trying to keep that person under bondage to them, that you need me to take care of you. Sure. I mean, you go around Lebanon, and there's 47 feed the people ministries. Go listen to how much gospel is preached. It's not. I mean, they don't even follow the Bible. The Bible says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. They'll feed you whether you work or anything like that, whether you ever intend to work or do anything. They'll just feed you anyhow, because we're so good. And they don't realize that shuts the door to them of moves of the Spirit of God and God doing things, closes the door to it. And they need to understand this. There's things that, we just don't go around. Jesus' ministry, isn't it money? I find it quite really interesting. Jesus talks about he gave money to the poor. He did that kind of thing. But the Bible don't make the emphasis that was his ministry of running around trying to take care of all the poor people. Wasn't his ministry. We have a lot of people in America are going to, on full stomachs, are going to go to hell. And we need to understand, if we don't get people over into truth, we need to do that. We're supposed to go do the works of Jesus. Jesus was fulfilling the law. And the fulfilling of the law was bringing blessing. It was to bring the blessing of God to the people. That's what he was doing. He wasn't trying to prove that he was God, because if he did, it sure didn't work. He's bringing blessing to people. Jesus Christ ministered as a man anointed by God. That's how he ministered to people. Now, if Jesus' works were done because he was God, he did it. It was because he was God. Then you need to understand this. You cannot do his works. And this is one of the things is why most of the church world doesn't believe in doing the works of Jesus, is because they believe he did it because he was God. Because you can't. Even the disciples, he lied to them if that was true, that you could only do, he could do the works because of God, because none of them were God. See, it throws everything out. And you got to get clear on these things. If you don't get clear on these things, this is why it's like people, their misconceptions of Jesus, their misconceptions of his ministry, that if you have misconceptions, then what he said can never really be true to you. That's why they say, that's what they did back then, but that's not for us. Why? Because they're full of unbelief. If I took all the pages out of the Bible they said don't belong to us, I'd have about 3-page Bible. That'd be pretty easy. I think we could follow that one. We could do around. I remember as a young kid, and they'd tell you to be like Jesus. And the one thing, the church hates people who act like Jesus. They'll run you off if you act like Jesus. They'll call you heretics. They'll say you have a devil just like they did Jesus. That's what they do. See, we need to compare. So you need to compare. Like, it doesn't matter to me what people or what they're thinking about it or what happens. You got to walk in truth no matter what everybody else does or what everybody else thinks. Somebody's got to carry the truth. Somebody's got to walk in it. You know, I found it, when the Lord sent me to a church to help them get started off. It was a difficult place to walk because I walked in the truth. He sent me there. Well, I couldn't deny the truth because of their religiousness. And it sure didn't make them happy sometimes. You don't become Mr. Popularity with them. You have to walk in the truth you have. You got to walk in it. You know, I don't have to try to cause trouble. Trouble will happen if you walk in truth and people ain't walking in truth. It's going to happen. I mean, that's just the way it is. Don't get offended and get into your little old thing. Well, I tell you, they just won't listen to me. Well, get over yourself. My Lord, they didn't listen to Jesus. What? Don't let it bother you. Don't get, people get, well, they get offended. Well, they hurt me. Well, get saved and act like you have the love of God in you and you'll get over that thing. I don't care what they did to you. My God, I've had experts throw rocks at me. So don't, it don't matter what they do. My job is to walk in the truth. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Whether they want to walk, I can give people the opportunity to walk in the truth. They have that right not to. People have the right to go to hell if they won't want to, if they don't want to go to heaven. They have the right to follow the devil. My job ain't trying to force anybody into anything. God ain't going to force them into nothing. He's going to let them go in their direction. Now, some of them think they're going to make to heaven. Well, that's their problem. They think and they're heading in the wrong direction. They don't listen to the truth. But you can't take all this stuff personally on yourself. And that stuff. Well, they I don't understand. They just don't listen to me. I wish they'd listen to me. Well, maybe some of them might be better off if they don't listen to you. Because the attitude of thinking, you don't change people, God changes people. We just preach the gospel. God changes people. Hallelujah. Most people that are so adamant about changing somebody else, I always, whenever I meet them and talk to them, I think, boy, I wish they'd change. They never see themselves as they need the biggest change of the bunch. My God. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to see something in Philippians, the second chapter. It says about Jesus and his ministry, and I want you to, because it's important for us to understand these things. In Philippians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul, writing the church at Philippi, it said in verse 5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Or, "Let this mind be in you." Or, the way Jesus thought, "Let this thinking be in you." This is the way you need to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't know how Jesus thought. See, people turn around and say, the Bible talks having the mind of Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal the Word to you. That's how you're going to come into line with the mind of Christ. It's through the Holy Spirit. But he tells them, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he said, made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Now, they use the New King James says, "made himself of no reputation." The literal Greek says, but emptied himself. Here we're talking about no reputation. In other words, but he emptied himself. He did something. He was God. He came in the form of man. But coming into the form of man, he emptied himself. He emptied himself of his ability as God. Even though he was God, he was equal to God. He was, but in this ministry in the earth as a man, he emptied himself. I really like what the 20th century New Testament says. It says, but impoverished himself. Now, he isn't talking about poverty like you think. Well, he came down here. It's in comparison to something. God becoming a man is like somebody who's a trillionaire ends up a homeless and on the street. In fact, that probably isn't even a good example. For God to become like a man and live in this earth like a man. See, people don't see. This is why, you know, I think the church doesn't understand what God did. When Jesus stepped in, most people see Jesus as this man, really, and they don't really see what he was. God stepped out of heaven and became a man to redeem me. Anybody would have a real revelation about that, it'd change their life. They wouldn't live so ungodly. You would never preach the sloppy grace that's preached today if you had any faith about the fact of who Jesus is. He's God. God came out of heaven, became a man, stepped into this cesspool to get you out of it. God got in the cesspool. You know, there's one thing that I found out. Any place I ever worked in my life for somebody, if you had a dirty job, the boss didn't do it. He sent somebody else, maybe like you, to go do it. God didn't do that. God had a dirty job that needed to be cleaned up. And he didn't send the lowest guys on the totem pole. The guy, the highest guy in the totem pole, went down and cleaned it up. See, most Christians don't know God like that. God became a man in the earth. He operated as a man here. He didn't operate as God. I'm so glad he did. Because if Jesus didn't and he did what he did as God, then there's no way you will ever do his works. It will never happen. It'll never take place. He did what he did because he was anointed by God. Acts 10:38, and you've heard me talk about this, but it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus Christ, if Jesus was operating as God, he needed no anointing. God don't need an anointing. God anoints men. God anoints men. Jesus was operating in the earth as a man. It says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed to the devil, by the devil, for God was with him. Now I want you to see two things here though. It says this, he was anointed what? God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. He didn't say anointing the Holy Spirit. He said in power. I want you to get this. This Holy Spirit in power thing. When Jesus was anointed on the day he was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit came on him, but the power didn't come on him. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And see, this again, it goes, the Bible says, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If people would sit down and read and study the word, it's an interesting thing, because after the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, the first thing that God did to him, he was led by the Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost that came on him. He was led by that Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. You need to know this. If you want to come over in the area of power, you're going to have to go through some things where you're going to be worthy of power. You know, we talk about, you know, people, you know, they go buy a gun. Well, you ought to take classes on how to use the gun. Well, that'd make good sense, wouldn't it? God ain't going to hand you the gun and you're not in a position to know how to use it. You'll just mess everything up. Jesus had to prove himself out. He had to prove himself, because we have, it's interesting in Luke, because I'm not going to go over and read through the temptations, but Luke makes this statement concerning Jesus in Luke 4, in verse 14, it starts, I'm going to read 14, 15. This is Jesus coming out of his temptation. And it says this, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee." He was baptized with the Holy Spirit in power. Where did he get the power? It says he came out in the power of the Spirit. He went in the wilderness, the Holy Spirit led him, but he came out in the power of the Spirit. See, many people think, well, you know, we're just going to get something, just going to get it right away, and everything comes along. Well, it said, he said, "And the news of him went out through all the surrounding regions." And verse 15 says, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified all." The first thing Jesus did was went out and began to teach. Now, I want to talk to you because we're talking about doing the works of Jesus. The works of Jesus many times are going in front of people. And I'm just going to tell you why lots of people don't get healed, don't get delivered, don't get set free, and why they don't. They don't because faith comes by hearing the word. Many people want ministered to, but they don't want to listen to the word. They don't want to take it. They don't want to come to church regularly, be there, listen. They don't want to do that. They want to go do something else. You know, I like McDonald's church. You just drive through, throw your prayer request, get it, and I just go do what I was doing before. Faithless people doing faithless things. It doesn't work. He said the first thing he did, we need to understand, teaching and preachings were the works of Jesus. This morning, I'm doing the works of Jesus. I'm doing the works of Jesus this morning. In fact, you're going to find this out. True ministers of the gospel, they'll do more teaching and preaching than they do any other stuff. They'll spend more time doing that. Why? It's to bring people to faith. Benny Hinn, some years ago, Benny Hinn was like his ministry, he was talking about all these people being healed, but what people didn't know, that loads of the people, after they were healed at the meeting, were going home and ended up as sick as they were when they came. And he didn't know this. You know, you think because of God, he has this big ministry, he's going everywhere. He was confused and didn't know why it was happening. He must have said something to, somehow I guess Norval Hayes was around him somewhere, and he said something, and Norval Hayes said to him, "Well, I can tell you that easily. I know why." He said, you're not teaching people about healing. He said, so they go, the devil attacks them again. They can't stand in faith. He said, you need to start running classes, teaching people about healing, teaching them how to maintain their healing and how to, see, get the word into them. They weren't. They were just going there, give me a miracle, I'm running out the door. See, I found out that was true, you know, back in 1989, in July 1989, I was working with Kenneth Hagin Ministries in the downtown, and they had their camp meeting there in the center downtown, and so, you know, like thousands of people would come. And what they had me do was I was up front in an area where they and sort of watched over the people and dealt with the people who were coming in, who were in, whether somebody was, sometimes they brought people in beds, you know, hospital beds and stuff of that, you know, for these meetings and that stuff, because to get healed you'd have the handicapped section and where, you know, people coming in wheelchairs and all that stuff. Now, this was a tradition because many times I had been at camp meeting over the years. Kenneth Hagin would always do in the announcement the first night of every service, of every camp meeting would open with this. They would have a morning, afternoon, and evening services. The morning services, the Lord told him this. He said, your morning services, he said, always have teaching on faith on your morning services. Do that in the morning. Have teachings on faith. You do that. Have teachers teach on faith. He had different ones do it over the years. That year was going on, I think was doing the teaching. But anyhow, they were teaching on healing. But Kenneth Hagin would always say this. If you're here for healing or something, he said, you need to be in those morning services. That's where you need to be. Well, of course, that was the smallest service there was. And the handicapped people, majority of them never came. Most sick people would climb Mount Everest to get to a doctor. And I'm talking about Christians and even spirit-filled people. But if you asked them to get up early in the morning to be someplace to listen to teaching, we ain't going there. I want something that's convenient and easy. And I dealt in that area. I was walking around down the areas. They had me in there. And the whole thing I was there is to minister to people. And I'd talk to them. I'd tell them, get in here. And when I'd go to each one individually, talk to them. Get in here to these things. Get in here. Now, we saw that week, we saw a lot of people get healed and things happen. And I've told the story about the woman, the young lady that was dying, who had diabetes, how she was healed that week. Every morning, she was in those meetings. And I'm going to tell you, they're bringing her in, and she looked like a corpse. And they're bringing her in. But she made those meetings. She walked out of those meetings completely well. Loads of people. I did not see one person that didn't attend the morning meetings got healed during that meetings. Not one. See, people don't listen. People have no respect for the ministry gifts. They think we talk just for be talking. We tell people they need to do stuff and they don't do it. And they wonder why things don't work. Better pay attention. Somebody better. Because I'll tell you, we have such disobedience in the church world. You don't disobey against me or these other. You disobey against God. To not respect the ministry gift telling you what you need to do is to disrespect God. See, Kenneth Hagin stood up there. If he told me that I needed to be there, sure enough, Ed was going to be there. See, people have no faith that the individuals hearing, they didn't believe he was hearing from God. They believed he just wanted them to just come to meetings. And they went home sick. And they sure deserved to go home sick. Disobedience should not be rewarded. See, we have a very slothful Christianity today. Boy, man, back in the 80s, I mean, my words, we would have been standing in line to get in. In the morning to get in there and get a spot. Today, nah, it don't matter. I just show up anytime I feel like it or want to, and it's all going to work out. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. It's going to cost you. It always costs. We need to understand these things. Back in the 80s, I tell you, we had an importance about God. I'm going to tell you, we were hungry and thirsty. You know, I said, you talk about last week, you know, is Darlene and them, they were in a church. I mean, you had a small group of people there that were just downright hungry for something. They wanted something from God. The pastor was trying to put on the brakes as much as he could. But these people were hungry, and they're moving some toward God. And I saw that all the time in places. There'd be groups of people that were hungry, sitting in places. They didn't know what to do at the time, but they wanted God. And they would do anything to get at God. They would do anything. Today, it's not like that. Today, God's an inconvenience, and I'm busy. Yet we have all kind of time to do all kind of other stuff. You know? I wouldn't take a vacation for my body and have not taken a vacation for my spirit and going to meetings and sit somewhere and listen to something. I wouldn't do it. I'm going to sit and take the time to sit down and feed the inner man. My outer man is going to stay strong, not through vacations. My outer man stays strong through what I do to my inner man. And yours is going to be identically the same. I ain't against vacations, but I am against people taking more care of their body than there are their inner man and then expect things to work out. They don't. You got to take the time to do something on the inside. Hallelujah. That's all free. That wasn't in the notes. But it's a good one anyhow. Hallelujah. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. People were oppressed to the devil. Here we know from a scripture, everybody that Jesus healed was under demonic oppression. In other words, they're not necessarily a specific spirit there. But we need to understand sickness and disease came from the devil's kingdom, not God's. If you have any kind of belief in you, or any group has any kind of belief then that God makes people sick for a purpose, they can forget the divine healing. They're going to be very limited on how far they can go. Because the people are always going to have the question in mind, maybe God wants me sick. I have never worked really well for people who came along and believe that God wants you sick for a reason. I've had, you know, people tell me, you know, God has me sick, you know, God has people sick because he's full of, you know, he wants to humble us. And I've said to people already, he wants to humble you? I said, have you been sick? Have you been sick this year? Oh, yeah, I've gotten sick. Well, you must be full of pride. What's wrong with you? Did you get it straightened out? Oh, they'll look at you like, oh. Well, you brought it up, buddy. You believe it, so what's wrong with you? Probably need saved, don't you? No, but their belief. People never listen to their beliefs. The senselessness. They just go ahead and preach the gutter that was preached to them. And it's gutter. And it's been preached to them, and they just go around blabbing it. And then talk about their faith. Well, what kind of faith could you have when you don't know God can do anything for you? Well, that's not faith. Dear Lord. See, we need to come out of these bonds have to be broken, and they're bonds. They keep people bound because they can't tell the difference between the devil and God. They don't know. I was preached it so when I was a kid in church. I remember asking my parents, what are we so upset about the devil for? It seems God does all the bad stuff. I thought the devil was a pretty good guy compared to God. Every ugly thing, every storm that came along killed. See, God knocked out Mike's electric today, last night, didn't he? Yeah, God did that. He knocked on them trees down. Yeah, that was God out there trying to... He's mad at Mike about something. I don't know. What'd you do, Mike? God's after you. You serve him. You go after him. And what does he do? He turns on you. A lot of good it goes to serve him. Let me just say something to you. Most of the natural laws that we see today came into being when Satan took over the earth. They are not the laws that God set in the earth in the beginning. They didn't have no storms. Adam and Eve didn't have a storm shelter. They weren't going. None of that stuff was going on. Sin brought this thing. This is Satan's kingdom. He's the god of this world. The New Testament says so. This world system. This system that kills and steals and destroys. You know? Now, what destroyed did stop their electricity? Well, do we look at that? That was a good thing? That was really great. I'm really glad God did that, you know. It's killing, stealing, and destroying. That's what it is. That's the devil's kingdom. Jesus went around rebuking the storm. He was going against his father. He was absolutely... His dad sent a storm and he stopped it. He's in complete rebellion against his father. There's waves out there trying to sink that boat and kill them idiots, and he stopped it. God was trying to kill them guys. My words, all them people out there, he came out and followed him out in the desert for days and prayed. And you know what? Now his dad sure knew there wasn't nothing out there. He probably wanted him to die. And you know what his son did? Multiplied fish and bread and fed them. What a scumbag he was. God has people starving for a reason. A lot of people think all this evil is going on the earth just so you can have a ministry. Yeah, God's causing all this stuff so you have something to do. So you don't sleep in too late in the morning. It's like, give me a break. But see, it sounds like nonsense to you, but people are thinking like it. They're thinking that God's doing all this. I'm the repairman to go fix God's stuff. And we love him. He's causing the trouble. I couldn't love him. He's using up my time. Tell him to do it himself. If he broke it, fix it. He never broke it. Praise God. That's good preaching anyway. Hallelujah. But Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. We find out his ministry actually started after that, after he returned in the power of the Spirit. That's really when his ministry became into being, is when it took off. His first miracle, and I understand this. Now think about it. His first miracle was Cana of Galilee, turned water into wine. Hallelujah. Do you know, I found it interesting. People go through all the things of why he turned water into wine, but you want to understand this. You know, one of the things that wine represents, a spiritual thing, is joy, happiness. That's one thing is filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Spirit of God. Representation of wine and that kind of stuff. One of the things the Bible deals with wine and laughter. And from a spiritual speaking standpoint, the first thing he did, turn water into wine, was a representative. He bringing joy. He's going to bring a bunch of good stuff. That's what he's going to do. That was the ministry of Jesus, is to bring good stuff, to bring joy that was going to bring happiness to the people. Him going around in ministry, ministering and healing the sick and things, that sure was bringing happiness to people. That was bringing joy to people. And so, you know, what he did there in turning water into wine, it wasn't so they all get drunk and they need to get drunk to have a good time. So I got a Christian told me one time, well, God don't matter what we drink because he wants us to have a good time. I said, if you need to drink to have a good time, I said, you're in sin. I don't need to drink to have a good time. Because I don't ever lead to nothing good to have a good time. Doing natural stuff from the standpoint of trying to, because I have to do this to have fun. You know, I don't do, I'm already all right. I'm not nervous. I ain't worried. I ain't afraid. And I got the joy of the Lord in me. I live in this earth by faith. I walk around. If I'm going to do something that I want to do and that I like to do, I don't do it to try to have good time. If I don't do it, I don't. If I ain't allowed, can't get it done or be a part of it or can't do it, I don't get sad that I need to be able to do that or I'm going to have a bad day. See, we need about our lives and get on the inside of us. Hallelujah. That no matter in any condition, I want to be like Paul. Under any circumstances or any condition, I ain't moved. I just stay the same. I don't mean I, okay, don't know, devil, come and do something to me. You don't have to ask the devil to do nothing. He'll show up one time. But you don't have to, but see, I don't need to have it. I can all the time walk around and inside of me be at peace and rest and joy. You can have that all the time in you. You don't have to try to get that through the things you do. I mean, Paul wrote some of his best letters out of prison, never complained one time in them, and he's in jail. Most Christians ain't in jail, and all they do is complain. They got good jobs, they got money, they're eating every day and still complaining. Oh, yeah. It's the truth. Oh, my. Everything's going good. They ain't missed a meal. In fact, I had four too many. But you just think life's bad. That's hard. You just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know what's happened. I've told you guys before, it's the last time I hear people complain, I think, I'd like to introduce you to somebody I know who really got trouble. You'd be ashamed. It's one thing about it. You think there's any poor in America? You need to go to another country somewhere. Run into somebody that's poor. They have no clue here in America. We don't have a clue. We don't know about poor here. So one thing is, I've been to a number of different countries. There's one thing I've learned over time is, Ed, you be thankful and shut up. You ain't got no right to complain. And ain't one of you got a right to complain. Amen. See, we need to come around, you know, it's our whole perspective of life. Most ministries are tied to the devil's kingdom when it comes to thinking about what to do and what's going on and what's bad. They're tied to what the devil says. You know, I guess, like you have a family of four today, if you're making, what is it, about $30,000 a year, you're considering poverty. Whew. That's poverty. Dear Lord, that's poverty. What in the heck do we know about poverty? In other words, you can make that amount of money and then the government will turn around and give you, and you could have, with all the programs and what those programs will provide you, almost $60,000 more a year. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you look at with the health care and everything that goes with it that they'll do, they'll dump on you. It's like, wow, let's quit working, man. And that's what people are doing. Why go to work? Then you have 400 churches will come, give you money, give you food, give you everything. Then you got all this, you just do this all the time. I used to do some of that stuff around here in this town, and I got tired of people coming along and that stuff, and they just thought everybody was supposed to give them something. They had such good things going on. They never had any intention of going to work or doing nothing. They're not going to. Wow, they're taken care of well. The system works. We need to understand these things if we don't. But I want to talk to you about teaching and preaching the word, because here's one thing it says about Jesus' ministry in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 23. I want to turn there. I'm going to read to you. But most people who believe that the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, about those gifts, and people want them in operation, and we should. But most people think along the lines that those were the only works of Jesus. But I want you to see from a scripture standpoint of what it says. This is Jesus' ministry. Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Now, I want you to see there, but what it doesn't say, he didn't say he healed everybody that was sick. And he said he healed all. He said all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. He did that. He didn't say he healed everybody. Now, but and then in Matthew, here we find almost the exact same statement. It says in Matthew 9:35 says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. The scriptures tell this, says this, that it was Jesus' custom on the Sabbath to teach in the synagogues. It was his custom. It was his custom to go read. It was the custom of Jesus to do that. It was the custom of him to teach. That was his custom, is to teach. So it should be among us, it should be number one, it should be among us, it should be a custom to listen to teaching. That should be our custom, is to listen to teaching. That's a custom that we need to have. But he said to teach. I want you to understand this. Why? Because we're talking, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, hearing the word of God is where faith comes from. Faith does not come from seeing miracles. Faith does not come. It might inspire you to believe something, but the whole thing it is, you need to be able to know what the word of God says for to respond to what God says, to receive whatever God has for you. You need to know what the word says about it. People say this, people I've heard over the years, people say, yeah, well, you know, one of the promises in the Bible is healing. Well, no, Jesus has never promised you healing. God gave you healing. Healing was something that was given to you. Himself, he already took your infirmities. He already bore your sicknesses. That's already done. By his stripes you were healed. That is a done thing. That's not something promised to you. That's something given to you. All the blessings of God, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has already been given to us in Christ Jesus, Ephesians says. It's already been given. You can never, and get this, you can never, I've said this many times, I'm going to say it, you can never believe by faith to get anything that hasn't already been given to you. I don't care if God said, I promise, he's going to have to show me he's given it. The scripture's telling me that all the promises of God are yes and amen. In other words, all the promises that God promised, even through Israel in the back, to give, to bless, all those promises became yes and amen. The fulfillment of the law took all the promises of the law and carried him over, and the church says, that don't belong to us, that was for Israel. Well then, what was the yes and amen about? For what? Jesus fulfilled the law so we could have all the blessing. All the blessing has been given. It's not going to. People who are, I hear people say this, get this out of your vocabulary. It may not be easy to do, but get it out of your vocabulary. Quit saying, I'm believing for something. The scripture never tells you to believe for it. It tells you to believe you receive it. That is scriptural accuracy. You want to be as accurate with scripture as you can. See, people are saying, I believe for it. You know what it means, I believe for it? I ain't got it yet. Well, then you don't believe you received it. You're basing it on what you see. No matter what I see, I believe I got it. It's mine. It belongs to me. I order things online all the time and say, you know, I bought such and such. I ain't even seen it yet. Most people have more faith in the natural and what the government will do and everything else than what they do in the Bible says. Jesus said, I was supposed to believe I receive it. He said, and you'll have it. So praise God, I sure know I'm going to have it because I believed I received it. It's mine. I'm not trying to get him to get it. I'm not believing for it. I believe I have it. Amen. And see, you got to come over to that place where you get a hold of those things. And this is where this mess goes on out here. People are trying to believe God. You don't try to believe God. You either believe it or you don't. You either believe what he said is true or not. I mean, it ain't trying to. I ain't trying to believe God. I know if I'm not. Over the years, I've had people come to me and say, I don't know if I'm believing or not. I look them right in the face and say, I can just tell you right now, you ain't believing because you just got done telling me. You didn't know if you were or not. I know you're not. Dear Lord, go look in the mirror and tell that idiot that just said that, you stupid thing, wake up! Want me to tell them whether they're believing or not when he just got done saying they don't. We don't know whether we're believing or not. Oh, my God. See, you think being in ministry is easy? I would have trouble dealing with me, and I get crazier people than me come up. That's really weird. I'm trying to get me fixed, and they're coming along and saying crazy stuff. Hallelujah. But faith comes by hearing the word, and you need to sit and listen and listen and listen and listen to the word. I mean, I listen to the word constantly. I listen to teaching constantly. I'm doing something constantly listening to teaching. I'm constantly putting things into me. Why? Because, you know, the scripture says there's many voices and none without significance. You're listening to stuff. I don't listen much to people. I listen to teaching. Because there's much said I don't want to hear. I don't need to get in me. And I listen in all the time. I have, you know, an MP3 player. I put it in, and then I have it in the car when I go. I constantly listen. I don't know how many hours a week that I'm listening to teaching. I listen to stuff I put on, and I listen to it. And most of the stuff, it's the same things. I'll have something I'll put on. I had some things of Kenneth Hagin in a series, and for over a month, probably close to 2 months, that's all I've listened to, just over and over, same stuff over and over again. But I'm going to tell you, it's in me. Glory to God, it's in me. You just keep doing it. You keep doing it. Keep doing it until I'm going to tell you, till you know it's in you, you got it. I got this thing. I got it now. It's in me. Most people, it's, you know, I'm going to eat a little bit of this snack for now, and then I'm going to have this later, and this. And tomorrow I don't want to eat the same thing again because I already had that. So I want to go over here and eat this, and I want to do this. I want always a new thing, a new thing. You got to get those kinds of habits out of your life. That you need something new all the time. You got to get that habit out of you. That you sit down and say, man, I ain't even got the old yet. Let me get it into me. Let I see people going through things. Things aren't working for them. And instead they're running around looking for somebody to answer their question rather than sitting down, listening to the word of God, listening to teaching. We have so much available for us today. Nobody has an excuse that they can't. There is no excuse. My word, you can go online and get so much decent stuff down free. I mean, my words. When I started off, I spent thousands and thousands of dollars to get the stuff to listen to. Now you can get it free. People still don't do it. We offer what I teach is free online. Loads of people never listen to it again. Wonder why it don't work. Oh, I'm meddling now. Glory to God, hallelujah. Mark 4:2 says, then he taught them many things by parables. And Luke 13:22 says, he went through the cities and the villages teaching. And then in Luke 21:37 says, and in the daytime he was teaching in the temple. And it says, by night he went to the Mount of Olives. I want you to see this. So it says, Luke 6:17 says this. And he came down with them and stood in a level place with a crowd of his disciples. See, Jesus had a crowd of disciples. He didn't have 12 guys. He had a crowd of disciples. Do you know Jesus had a crowd of people who followed him everywhere he went? A crowd. And it says, of his disciples and a great multitude of people. See, there was a difference between disciples and people. Oh, there's a lot less disciples in the church than there is people in the church. There's always the crowd, and the disciples were always a smaller group. Always. Disciples and crowds, two different people. But listen what he says. He goes on here. The multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. What they did, they came to hear him and be healed. They didn't just come to be healed. They came to hear. See, faith comes by hearing. You need to understand this, listening to people. If people don't want to, if you're not a person, I've heard people say this, I don't know what to say to people, then quit trying to minister to them. Because you need to get faith in people. If somebody comes to you and says, pray, hold it. We're going to do some teaching here before we get to the praying. This is why things don't work. You're not going to turn around and get people all the time healed with gifts of the Spirit. God may heal a person one time or two times like that, the majority of the time, if that, you're never going to get them healed again. They're going to have to come to faith. And if they don't come to faith, they ain't getting it. They have to sit down and listen to some teaching. We're not doing that in the church. We're trying to get everything fixed. We want these quick fix stuff. We're the church of the great Band-Aid. That's where we are today. And I believe most of the church loves the Band-Aid. They don't. I'm convinced many of them don't want people to get fixed, because if they got fixed, they couldn't have their little ministry. They're afraid, though, church, you got to keep people poor. You got to keep people, you know, messed up. You got to keep them squirrely so we have something. That's the devil's job. Our job is to set them free, getting them working, doing something. That's our job. Our job is not to try to keep them. It's just, over the years, if I look back over the years, we had a number of times that God sent ministers here in our congregation and sent them here for one purpose, for me to minister to them so they could go out and do something. Churches today, they're trying to keep everybody. They don't want people out ministering. They want to keep you tied to them minister. They ain't interested if you do anything or not. We're trying to hold the crowd, you know. Keep the checks rolling. Let's get it. Most people are just happy not to do nothing. See, we got to get ourselves, get the word into us. And we got to get it into us so something comes out of us better than what we are.
Amen.
It's getting the word into them. Came to hear and be healed. You need to understand. We need to minister. People need to understand. It's just like in the natural. A person has a problem, goes to the doctor and goes to the doctor. I remember my dad years ago had this many. My father's passed on, went on to be the Lord. He was 90. Hallelujah. Worked up until he was 80s. In his 80s, he was working. But he had, when I was just young, I can remember I was real little, he had a back injury and really had a problem with it. And I remember he went to a doctor, and this doctor would, over time, every time he'd go back, and they would put, and anyhow, he had a ruptured disc, and they would put this disc back in place again. And they'd keep putting the disc back, and I remember it was very painful for him. He'd go back, and they'd do these things, and he was like, oh, and they kept putting them in, back in place, till eventually the disc stayed in place. I just kept putting it in place and putting it in place till eventually it stayed in place. So in other words, he had a problem, and he went back, and his doctor would do this and over time. And my dad was melted, never had a problem with his back after that. Never had any trouble with his back. And I remember he hit some really bad with that disc. Was pinching a nerve, and man, he had a lot of pain. And so, he did that. What we need to know, this is why many people, they never get healed, because, you know, they want to just come, give me a dose, I'm going home. You need more than a dose. I've needed years of doses. If you want to walk in some place, you're not going to do it from your little candy store of Christianity. I ain't going to do that stuff. And that's what's a candy store. The only thing you're going to have out of it is rotten teeth. You're going to be walking around, eating your little candy, and then 20 years later, still saying, I'm believing God. It takes time to get it. It takes time to put things into you, just like my dad had to keep returning. I remember riding in the car with my dad. And this, I was just a little kid. He had a 1950 DeSoto. And I was just a little kid. I was, like maybe about 4 years old. I remember sitting in that car. See, in those days, they had seatbelts and stuff. You could just stand on the hump in the back and just look over the seat. I remember riding my dad going down to the doctor and pulling into that down from his office, and we'd wait for dad, and dad'd go in and get his thing, and then come back out, and then time after time he did it till one day he didn't have to go no more. See, we need to get to the point where we keep getting after something till the day I don't have to get after that anymore. Now there's something else I can get after. Now there's something. Most people spend their whole life on one thing trying to get it fixed. It's because they don't get into the Word. They don't get into the Word. We're going to talk about this more from the standpoint of next week. We're going to look at some incidents. We want to look at scriptures of the personal people that Jesus ministered to. Personal people that he healed. Now, I'm just going to read you one of them here this morning. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, I want to turn you there. Look at these. It's a story about two blind men. And I want you to see this. Two blind men in Matthew, the 9th chapter. I want to start at verse 27 says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I'm able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.'" Now, I want you to see something about Jesus and ministry. Just because somebody cries out to you, that don't mean you're supposed to go help them. You notice Jesus didn't? The worst thing that the church does today, as soon as somebody cries out, we got to go run and fix it for them. Don't fix it for them right away and see how they act. You'll find out where they got faith. I learned with Christians. They talk about their faith and their different stuff. Don't do something for them right away and watch how they act. These guys didn't. They wanted to have mercy. And you know what they did? They didn't let him alone. They followed after him. These are blind. This isn't something easy to do. You can't get hardly healthy people, Christians, to follow you today. Much less somebody got a problem. Well, it's the truth. Might as well say amen or oh me. They stayed after him. Jesus is finding out, why waste your time for people that ain't going to get nothing? These men are proved, they're after something. They ain't going to let this thing alone. They're following him. This is a good thing. See, most people read the Bible and never see this stuff. They just tell the story. Jesus, they were calling out to him. He's going down the road. He ain't even paying attention to him. Now, you think he didn't hear him? Yeah, he did hear him. These men are after him. They want something, and they're not going to let it alone. See, I like this about them. See, you can see concerning faith. I can tell whether people are going to get something. You know, how many times you guys have heard me teach about, you know, where James said, anyone sick, let them call for the elders of the church. I know most people ain't. You know, if I'll call people up for healing, then they would come. But they'll never really go after it themselves and follow after me to minister to them. They won't do it. Why? I'm just going to tell you. Faith problem. If you thought you're going to get something and you thought you could get it, you'd have got after it. If you had an advertisement on TV that said that they'd have a medicine that would surely fix your problem, you'd be after it. Folks, this is good preaching anyhow. Now just, see, these guys, he was their answer and he ain't going to let this thing, they ain't letting it alone. They're blind. It ain't easy walking down the road blind. You know, what the white cane thing there and you had curbs. And you had sidewalks to walk down on through. Every rock and dirt was the same on the road. You know, you didn't know where you're at. There wasn't places you got to, and they had places you stop, and there the light was, and you could get to cross. You know, they didn't have none of that. These guys are following somebody. This is not an easy thing to do. And these are blind guys after something. Hallelujah. They want something. Well, when Jesus said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" He asked out the question. They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." Now I want you to see this. They're following after Jesus. Jesus said, "Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe it's going to happen?" What are you going to say if you're asked that question? See, many people come, "I want healed." Well, you believe it's going to happen? I've done that over the years to people, and I watch them stop and stammer and go through things and try to go through some kind of religious mode. They have no more, it's no more in them. They're coming to see if they're going to get something. Jesus said, these guys, you think I can do this? They said, sure enough. That's why we followed you. That's why we're here. Look, I'm not saying this in criticism. I'm just telling you why things don't work. You need to understand this. These guys come, they're saying, they believe, they're acting. Their actions are according to what they believe. They were quick to respond to Jesus. They didn't have to stop and think about it. They were quick to respond of what their faith really was. See, people who have faith problems say, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. Well, I can tell. Their tongue is telling me about them and their faith. It's telling me. It's not to be, that's just, you know, people today, well, don't say that. Don't tell them they're not in faith. I had a minister tell me, don't tell them they're not in faith. You'll discourage them. I said, discourage them? You're encouraging them to walk in unbelief thinking they're going to get something. That's a minister thing. And all these ministers were agreeing to that kind of stuff. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. I know what they preach from their pulpit. Ain't nothing but a bunch of fluff. They can call themselves spirit-filled and everything, but I know the spirit they operate under. They ain't got any spirit of boldness, so I know that ain't God working in them. They're cowards and they're timid. They won't deal with stuff. And watch the people walk and leave hurt, making them feel and think they're going to get something when they're not. There's anything worse than lying to people. I'll tell you, I think there's ministers going to end up in hell because of all the lying they've done. Liars going to be in a lake in the fire. I read it in the book. It's in the book of Revelation. You don't make people think they're going to get something when they're not. Telling people the truth is because you love them. See, we don't have that today. It's self-loving people trying to keep, I don't want anybody to feel bad about me or say anything to me. I don't want anybody to think I'm a bad guy. Oh, get over it. People think you're a bad guy anyhow. Jesus was perfect and he killed him. Dear Lord, get over it. Hallelujah. So we just walk in, tell people the truth. Not to be ugly, tell them the truth. Why? Because you want them to get well. You want them to be blessed. You want to help them. Don't miss him. Look, if you keep going that direction, it ain't going to work. They might get mad at you and go run off. That's their problem. Like I said last week, I had people who, you know, took off and run off and, oh, I was a bad guy and everything else. Now they're in trouble and they want help. Well, you've been listening to everybody else and, you know, now you fix it and I'll still run around and hide my stupidity. Well, it ain't happening. It ain't getting fixed. We don't have to come and listen to what you have to say because I don't like what you have to say, but you do know about the power of God and the people I hang out with don't. But they're right. And you're the bad guy, you know. But, you know, I want to get delivered and hang out with the idiots. I'm just one of the idiots. So I'm just going to hang out with the idiots. That's what people want to do. The idiots never look to the idiots for help. They always go to people they know that they don't like, but know that they got what they need. Oh, my words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to see what Jesus said to them. He said, he touched their eyes. He said, do you believe I can do this? He touched their eyes and he said, I healed you now. He said, my power healed you. No, he said, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith. According to your faith. Jesus said, and we're going to look at these things. We'll look at other instances. It's according to their faith. According to their faith. They had according to their faith. According to their faith. What they're going to have is according to their faith, not according to your faith. Jesus didn't say, you got it according to my faith. You didn't get it. He didn't say that. The power of God works in the earth according to our faith. Thank God that he does do some things and that stuff for people to grab their attention. But you need to understand this. As a Christian, he's going to demand faith out of you. It's going to be according to your faith. I've learned over time, if I'm standing in an area, I believe I've received something that's not working, I start stopping looking. Okay, this ain't working properly. It ain't doing what it's supposed to do. I'm supposed to have something better than things. Okay, where did I miss it? Where is it? Where am I messed up so that my faith, something's hindering my faith? Because I can have according to my faith. It's like Kenneth Hagin, 16 years old, was on that 16-year-old boy in the deathbed, and God made him get in faith. Oh, we'd never do that for a 16-year-old. We wouldn't even do it for a 39-year-old. People sit around and their kids are so darn old and they just keep praying and stuff and trying to get everything fixed for their kids all the time. Dear God, get over it. 16 years old. Made him get into faith before he was healed. And I remember listening to his testimony how it worked, but the Lord told him he thought he was in an area of faith. And God said to him, the Lord said to him, you're in faith as far as you know. In other words, you didn't have enough revelation. He didn't have all the revelation he needed. He thought because of what he knew, he was going to make it work, but he didn't know the whole thing. See, people do all the time, run off on one sermon they heard. They didn't listen to the other 12 sermons that were dealing with that subject. And they run off and wonder why it don't work. These people went around and they heard the message on healing but didn't hear the one about forgiveness. And they're holding something against somebody and they're wondering why. Well, I'm believing God. Why don't this work? Well, you should have listened to the message on forgiveness. That would have helped you. So you find things out. You find what. Well, he was 16 years old. I'll never forget. And I said this, and you folks have heard me talk about it already. When I heard Kenneth Hagin's testimony and God dealing with that, I said, ain't no 16-year-old kid going to do better than I can. That's it. I said, if a 16-year-old kid can get off a deathbed, Ed Gibson would be a disgusting scumbag to walk around acting like it's okay to be sick and it's all right. I said, uh-uh. If he can get healed, this boy can get healed too. I'd be ashamed to tell people that a 16-year-old boy can believe God and get it, and I can't. I'd be ashamed to tell people that. My God, if a 16-year-old can believe, Ed can sure believe. Dear God. Why? It isn't hard. It isn't some hard thing. Religion is what's made it hard. Religion. People won't let go of their religious traditions and their stuff, and they won't let it go. They won't let their ideas go and their thoughts go. We need to renew our mind. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ healed Ed Gibson of everything that could ever come on him or show up. He healed him of it 2,000 years ago when he was raised from the dead, took his blood into the Holy's Holies, finished his covenant off. Ed's the healed guy. He's not trying to get healed. He is the healed. That's the way I am. I am healed. I'm not trying to get God to heal me. That'd be going to him in line. We ain't going there. According to my faith. Well, see, if my faith thinks I'm trying to get God to heal me, if I'm trying to get him to do something, we're not trying to get God to do anything to us. We're receiving what he's done. Salvation. You get born again by receiving what he did, not trying to get him to save you. You receive what's... If he hasn't saved you, if he hasn't taken your sin already, forget it. Asking him to forgive you ain't going to work. I'm not waiting for God to forgive me. He already did that. Glory to God. God planned us a future, and faith is about walking in that future he planned for us 2,000 years ago. And know what we're trying to do? We treat God like he didn't do it and we're still trying to get it. We need to come out from under that. That's the weight of religion. The religion is always taking us to the place that we got to, if you jump through all the right hoops and you jump through the, then God will do it for you. God's not the problem. It's about me. It's about my faith. It's about me. God's already blessed it all. I'm not trying to get him to do something for me. He already blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's blessed you with them. Now think, say that about 2 million times to yourself during the week here till you believe that's true, that he's already blessed you, that you're not trying to get blessed. He already did. See, when I found out his work, when I came to the place and found out his work's done, now I got my work, getting into the Word, listening to the Word of God, getting it into me till I agree with what he did for me. And when I agree with what he did for me and I hook up with what he did for me, glory to God, hallelujah. Now, the plug's in the wall, glory to God. I'm hooked into the plug. Plug's hooked in and the powers are flowing, glory to God. People are trying to get getting the receptacle supposed to be drug out of the wall and plugged to us. That's what we're waiting for. That's what I'm telling you. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us to go plug in. That's our faith that plugs in and says, yeah, you know, he did that for me. You know, 2,000 years ago, he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. You know how many times I said, as just a young Christian, the devil tried to bring something on me, and I'd say, God, I just want to thank you. I didn't pray like most people pray for about healing. I'd say, God, I just want to thank you that 2,000 years ago, you healed me. I am just so excited about that. And I didn't feel no better when I was saying that, but that's what I said. I'd even get a smile on my face. See, I'm just so thankful, and I just want to let you know, I just appreciate so much your love for me that you healed me. Even when I was a dumb idiot walking around for 30 years on the face of this earth, I was a moron, and you still had taken all my infirmities and bore all my sicknesses. He didn't do that when the day Ed got saved. He did that before Ed ever got on the face of this earth. He had already taken every sickness, every disease. He had already dealt with my sin problem. He had already done all of that before I ever even came along. See, most Christians, they'll get thankful when they feel better. Too late. That's ungratefulness. You should be grateful when you recognize the fact he's already done it for you. Hallelujah. Thank God he's done it for me. This is one of the reasons why things happen for me fast in those areas. Because I wouldn't approach it like other people did. I had good teacher, Kenneth Hagin. Listened to him teach about me being healed 2,000 years ago. I was just dumb enough to believe it. Some of you are too smart. At least you think you are. You think you know. You don't. You get down to the place, no, he did the work already. Glory. My job is to find out what he did and cooperate with him, however I'm supposed to do in the Word. That's my job. Hallelujah. He's not sitting up there saying, well, you know, maybe I want you to have it, maybe I don't. Any of those things are in your mind, you cannot come to faith. You can't come there. You can't go there. See, God could lead Kenneth Hagin as a young boy into faith, and he did it because Kenneth Hagin came to the place of understanding that God wanted him well. He was not in the condition he is because of God doing anything or anything, that God wanted him well. God could have never taken it. If you run into people, you need to ask them the question. You know, many people want healed. You don't get healed because you want healed. You get healed. Like these men, your faith will make you whole. If you don't have any faith, if you're still believing, well, maybe God does want me sick. Maybe God does want me to have sick. Maybe he does. If a person has that in them, you're fighting a losing battle. You have to be able to take him the Word. This is why I go down and give all these scriptures and go through these things. They aren't for me to just to tell you something. You need to get what these scriptures are. You need to share them with people. You need to let people know. This is what the Bible says. You know, one guy used to all the time, and I had to tell him about it. He'd always go tell people, have people come to me, and he said, well, Pastor Ed said, and I went and told him about it. I said, you got to knock this stuff off. I said, you need to sit down and look at the Bible says and tell people what the Bible says. I said, don't matter what I said. I said, you prove it to people in the Word. It's what the Word says is what's important. If what I say ain't in line with the Word, don't matter what I said. That's why we look at these scriptures, because we're taking the Word of God and we're giving people work, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith for the kingdom of God is based in the words of the kingdom of God. Many people have today what they call faith, but it's not in what the Word said. Just because you believe it, that don't make it faith in the kingdom of God and can bring you anything from the kingdom of God. It's founded in the Word. The Word, believing what the Word said, is what makes it work. And that's one of the things I was so glad of Kenneth E. Hagin, because he got me in the Word. And he got me there to look at the Word and learn. It's what's important is what the Word says. And I found this out. If you can't get people to want to listen to the Word, forget ministry! You're going to end up being nothing but a caretaker. And then lying and calling people, calling it a ministry. It ain't no ministry. Taking care of unbelief all the time. Helping people stay in it. Some people need to be right in the middle of their problems till they do something. And nobody should be doing anything for them till they get it straightened out. This fix-it society we got is destroying the church of Jesus Christ. You know, George W. Bush said the church ought to be handling the welfare system. I said, dear Lord. I thought, he ought to read the Bible sometime. Do him good. See, people meet Christians and idiots. Jesus didn't run a welfare system. I'm in the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's the one I'm in. I believe in helping people, but I believe people have to do things. I don't believe in just throwing stuff out there to people and they don't have they can walk off and don't have any kind of demand on them or nothing. If you, the Lord told me, if they don't want to come and listen to you preach and teach the word and help them, he said, don't bother chasing after them. Do stuff for them. Why? All you're going to do is chase after them and keep doing stuff for them, trying to take care of them while they live in their sin. They don't want to get out of it. I want to be able, they think a church is a welfare place. You come in and get your welfare taken care of, get your stuff, and then you just live where you want. You won't come and listen to teaching? You don't want to hear that? You know? Like somebody tell you, you know, they want to be any profession they want to be. Well, if they're not going to sit down and listen to teaching on it, they ain't going to mount, they ain't going to go there. So why would the church think? You know, the church is full of a lot of nonsense. You can't get people to change their mind. They will never change. Do you know you got saved because one day that little pea running around up there between your ears bouncing back and forth got a different thought. It heard the word of God and it believed it. If you hadn't changed your mind, your heart would have never changed. If you can't get people to change their mind, you will never get them to change your heart. It ain't going to work. Their mind. Take every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. See, if people don't change the way they think, that's why Kenneth Hagin said, he said, number one thing that the church needs is a renewed mind. I'm still working on mine. I ain't arrived. You ain't arrived either. I listen and listen and listen because I need to keep renewing my mind. And you know, it's just like anything. Have you ever watched anybody in a profession who has been in it a long time but never takes refresher courses? Do you ever see what happens to them? Michael, you probably see a lot of that. They learn something, start here, but they don't keep in it and training in it. After a while, you're not doing what you were taught all these things back here. There's no such thing as, well, I heard and I know about this and I know about that. It's constant refresher course. Number one, I had learned from Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, concerning divine healing and those things and walking in health, he said, that's the number one thing in scriptures. He said, concerning myself, I refresh myself all the time on healing scriptures and on scriptures concerning health and things. I do that all the time. See, it's God's medicine. You're putting medicine in you all the time. You don't. Most people, most Christians, this is why it don't work. They never do that. They're not doing it. I do it all the time. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. The one series I'm listening to was on Kenneth Hagin and Divine Healing. I was listening on it for me. It has like, you know, 10 or 11, something like that, different parts to it. And I've listened to it for over a month. I've sat down and just lived out. You know, I'm just doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I sit down and listen over that stuff over and over again, putting it in me. It's about my health and my soundness. You know, why? I'm getting older and I have most people that I know that are around me, they want me to get old like everybody else does, like they do, and limp and whatever. They want me to get the walker too. They want me to get ready. They want me to get ready to be like them. I need to sit down and keep myself over because everybody else is moving in a different direction. Most of the church, 99.9% of the church is heading in the wrong direction. They're heading and they want me to go along with them. I had one spirit-filled guy tell me, well, when you get older, you can't expect to get healed of everything. And I said, well, I know where you're headed for. Because he's older than I am. He's headed for trouble. Because I'm going to guarantee you this, I know for sure. He's been dealing with some problems. They're going to get worse. And you know what he's going to call me? He's going to call me and ask me to pray for him, and I'm going to say this to him. Till you change, it ain't going to work. You believe you're not supposed to get it. Now, why would God want to heal you? You said older people ain't gonna. You special or something? Give me a scripture about your special. So you watch how you talk and what the things you say. Set a course for yourself and ain't good. See, I listen to God's word. I don't need to be hearing that stuff. I listened to that stuff, and as soon as he said it, I thought, woo, I don't want to be in his boat. Mm-mm. Because the devil's standing over in the corner going, woo, my words, we got a door open now. This boy. You see, keep feeding yourself. Keep feeding yourself on the things. You can hear a lot of stuff, and you will, just because you're out here running around this world. But you control the diet to your spirit. You do. And if you're hearing more of the outside than you're hearing the stuff, good stuff on the inside of what the world's saying, I'm on Darren. The effect's going to be there. The effect's going to be there, whatever you're listening to. If you're listening to what all the doctors say about health, I'm sorry, I got a health book. It's called the Bible. That's my health book. That's my health book. I look in that thing, and that's my health book. Hallelujah. The same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in me. He's making my mortal body alive. That's what he does. That's part of one of his jobs in there, making me alive, not trying to kill me. So you're getting older, you're getting ready to croak badly. You know? Well, you're getting old now, life. Oh, you can't go nowhere, can't do nothing anymore. You know, you're getting old. Have fun while you're young. I'm in the believing, have fun while you're old. Hallelujah. When you're young, you're stupid. I know I was stupid when I was young. I thought mom and dad didn't know nothing till I got old enough to find out. There's some things they didn't know, but there's a lot about life they understood. And there's things to be listened to. I'll tell you, we go over and get ourselves. Let's stand to our feet, but let's get ourselves over on the inside. Hallelujah. If anything in this last days, Jesus made this statement. And you've heard me talk about it before. But Jesus made this statement, and it's always stuck out to me in the Bible. Because Jesus made this statement about his return. Jesus said this: will I find faith in the earth? I'm going to tell you, faith is not an abundant commodity in the church realm today. Back in the 80s, there was a lot more faith going on than there is today. A lot more. See, many people want to go on and they're looking, oh, yeah, do this, that. We need to come back to the faith thing. We need to come back getting in faith with God, getting back. That's why I push in these areas. I'm going to just keep pushing these areas because we need to get in faith. People need to get in faith. Most of the church world is doing good works. There's no faith. There's no faith involved in it. They don't know what the Bible said about things. Life is in the Word. Hallelujah. The life is in the Word. The Holy Ghost is the teacher of the Word. He wants to get the Word in you because it brings life to you. That's what it is. It's life. Hallelujah. He wants you to have life. He don't want you to have worrying about, well, you know, now they're worried about, there's some kind of, now they're concerned that some major big flu epidemic's supposed to be coming. They're afraid that it might come. Well, go ahead. Get afraid with them. You'll be one thing, either be in faith or not. I ain't afraid of no flu. Dear God, I'm bigger than the flu. Thank you. But see, they'll turn and drink fear. So you can go to me and wonder, oh, I want to stay away from people now, you know. No, do you ever think about, you know, in ministering to people and that stuff? You know, most people, they couldn't go out and minister much to them. They'd be afraid to lay hands on the sick. They're afraid to get it. See, you got that, you're in fear. You ain't in faith. Make sure you got your wipes with you. I've laid hands on people and they've had, I'm going to tell you what, in other countries. And I want to tell you, I've never been afraid. God can't keep me well in doing it. I don't have to go do what he said. He no liar. He didn't send me to heal the sick and while I get dead. Come on. We're so afraid today. We're so afraid something might get on me. Don't worry. If you think like that, it's already on you. You already got that spirit. Don't worry about it. Well, sure it is. Ain't nothing worse than fear. I've been out around the ministry and been in places where people didn't want to lay hands on, but they have, you know, this person got this problem. You just want to take them out and slap them good, you know, and they talk about themselves, people of faith. Ain't gonna fit, they're afraid. Jesus touched lepers. He said, I'll do the works that he did. If I'm afraid to touch lepers, I ain't gonna be doing works that he did. Leprosy's scared of me. Amen. Not because I'm somebody great. It's that guy living in the inside of me. He's big. Hallelujah. He's making my body alive. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost don't say, don't do it, don't do it. You're going to get leprosy. Don't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good preaching, folks. Glory to God. We're walking in the power of the Spirit. That's what we're doing. Hallelujah. See, we need to get our actions in line of our believing. Do we have a big God today? Hallelujah. Do we really have the victory? Did Jesus really give us the victory? Or are we trying to get the victory? Right there's a good unbelief spot. Most people are trying to get the victory. I'm sorry. I already have the victory. I don't care if it looks like I'm going under. You'll never hear me saying it. I have the victory. I ain't trying to get it. It was given to me by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm an overcomer. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't keep me down. Hallelujah. Paul, they couldn't have enough stones to keep him down. Glory to God. He got up and back in the city again. My word, you can't even kill them faith people. Glory to God. Most of the faith church today, all of them will die. They call themselves faith people. They're afraid of stuff. Let's get over this fear. Don't be afraid about what's coming on in this world. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you what. There's a glorious church coming on in this last day. There's a glorious church and a move of God. Hallelujah. Bigger than men have ever seen. People are going to walk around in wonder of it. Hallelujah. Christians will walk around in wonder of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's God's plan. We're the glorious church. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning for the glorious church. Hallelujah. Lord God, the Bible calls us believers, and that's what we are.